In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
Welcome in, everybody, to the OBR Film Breakdown. Your host, Jake Burns. We're talking about the Browns 27-25. Win in Jacksonville. I do hope you guys have had a great Sunday evening and a great victory Monday morning as you may be listening to this podcast, drink a cup of coffee, or on your drive into work. Hope it finds you well. Another fun win, man. I said in writing the Browns running back recap, which I put up at the OBR, about the different running styles of these two running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and how they're closing games in the fourth quarter by running the football in a myriad of ways. Kind of just how weird this is to feel like this is our norm, that in 11 weeks of football for the Browns, 11 games, eight of them have been wins, and they've been playing from out in front pretty consistently. So it was good to see. Good. You know, it's obviously anytime they get a win, feel good about it, and not all wins are pretty, especially this team who's not necessarily blowing anybody out by any stretch of the imagination, but they're winning, and that's what matters. You know, there was some discussion this week about how they're playing against teams with winning records, and then I think it was a CBS tweet, and it was just like, it's a welcome sight for the Browns to actually beat teams that they were supposed to beat instead of worrying so much about beating the teams that maybe the next step qualifies for, which is beating the teams that are really good. So, you know, you start out by winning these games you're supposed to win, then you move toward winning some neutral games, which they've won some, and then you win the games you're not supposed to win, or maybe become the team that is favored in those games. So I'm excited. It's something that you should revel in, something that hasn't happened since 1994, this type of record. They clinched their first non-losing season since 2007. So this is all very exciting. You can go through the ages you were at the time of these things. You know, in 1994, I'm 5 years old, and in 2007, I'm just graduating high school. It was a pretty crazy how long this has been. You got a taste of it in 2014 before it disappeared at the end of the year. But this seems like it has a chance to actually find the Browns in the playoffs, who have a 79% chance after today's game. And you know, shout out to Atlanta for beating the crap out of the Las Vegas Raiders and really helping the Browns playoff odds. And the Titans also beating the Colts, you know, because the Browns have the tiebreaker over the Colts. So that's a big deal. Really big deal. So let's talk about the game, especially looking at kind of where it was statistically, as we always do. Listen, this is the numbers that the Browns want to be at offensively over here. 207 rushing, 252 passing. A really nice balance there. About 275 is the sweet spot for passing. A couple throws Baker missed, they easily get to 275. Probably date, and that fact makes the game less close than it was. But nonetheless, pretty close to where they wanted to be. Baker, 19 of 29, 258. Some really fun Pro Football focused statistics of the last 5 weeks are going to come out tomorrow. Talking to a good friend of mine there, John Costco. Those numbers are going to come out tomorrow. Pay attention. You're going to like what you hear about Baker Mayfield recently. This fourth game in a row with no interceptions. You like to see that. So two touchdowns, no interceptions. Nick Chubb, stellar performance, 144 on the ground, only 19 carries, a touchdown, only along a 29, so that tells you yards per carry, pretty consistent throughout the game. Kareem Hunt, 10 for 62, that's the ideal split between those guys, 19 carries to 10 carries, in my opinion, pretty dang strong, and 200 rushing yards. They've done that multiple times this season. It's a great formula for this team to win games, and they can get that sort of production. Also, speaking of production, Jarvis Landry, 8 catches, a 143, and a touchdown. He was phenomenal. Due for that type of game was tough cover, creating yards after catch, all the good stuff you want to see. Nick Chubb at 3 for 32. Nice screen game from Stefanski. I should note that. That's very important. Very Very good screen usage, I thought, for the first time this year. Nick was heavily involved, obviously closed the game with that screen game. A big completion there on third down. That was fun to see. Kadarius Hodge goes 3 catches for 31. Rashard Higgins has 1 for 15. Should have had a touchdown. I'm sure Baker would admit that. Austin Hooper, 2 for 13 and a touchdown. Harrison Bryant, 1 for 13. Look, Harrison Bryant's got to stop turning the football over, man. He's two fumbles now that are a problem, and this can't become habitual for him. He's a good young player. I'm very high on him. I think he's a good young player, but he can't fumble the football. Certainly has to catch that football in the end zone as well. Not his best game. Certainly a rookie-type performance from him. Steven Carlson had 1 catch for 11. Taywan Taylor had 1 target his direction. That was a drop on the sideline. Sure he'd like that back, his first action of the season. On the defense, no sacks, unfortunately. Taking away a sack from the Adrian Claiborne, Olivier Vernon sandwich that happened at Mike Glennon's, I guess, behalf there that gets flagged. Just unfortunate. It's really hard when you think about, you know, defensive ends are trying to do one of the hardest jobs in pro sports, which is beat athletic, nimble, 300-plus pound offensive tackles. They're going full speed to beat them off the edge, and then they have to throttle down somehow, and somehow in that throttle down hit like a 24-inch radius they're allowed to hit on the quarterback. Can't hit them high, can't hit them at their knees or below. It's like, it's so hard to get a sack when you're playing full speed. Saw it in the Tampa Bay game later in the evening. It's just, it's mind-blowing how hard they make it and how much they, and I played quarterback, but how much they protect the quarterback, it's just, it's a little crazy. Browns only punted one time. That was great, too. Only one punt, and it was a nice punt. They did get Jacksonville to punt several times, which is good to see. So, on Jacksonville's side, Mike Glennon, 20 of 35, 235, 2 touchdowns. Wasn't pressured a ton, but man, he played well. He put some balls in good spots, especially on crossing routes. I thought he played well. James Robinson, that guy's got a real bright future, the undrafted free agent there. He went 22 times for 128, 1 touchdown, making me very uneasy about Derrick Henry coming up next week. So we'll have to talk about that run defense when we preview the Titans. Nonetheless, looks like receptions-wise, Johnson had 4 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Keenan Cole had 3 for 44. Robinson also had 5 for 31 through the air. Laviska Shenault, 3 for 31. And James O'Shaughnessy had 2 for 17. Tyler Eifert had 3 for 16 and a touchdown. 1 sack for Aaron Lynch defensively. Smoot had a sack for them as well. 2 sacks on the day. On that first drive, unfortunately, had to empty the very first play. Wyatt Teller. Sucks for Wyatt. He's having a good year, but 3 straight games of a sack allowed, unfortunately, for him. But Joe Schobert had 8 tackles in the game. Missed Joe. Great fumble forced by him, punching that ball out from Harrison Bryant. Shout out to Joe Schobert, man. Miss him. I know it hasn't been a great year for him. I know he's struggling through more losing in Jacksonville. Hope he's keeping his spirits high in a tough situation down there. But maybe they get Justin Fields, so it might not all be all bad at the end for that franchise and for Joe's contract down there. So let's talk about the game, though. I thought from a player perspective, one by one, sort of looking at this whole thing, you're gonna talk a lot about Baker. Thought he played pretty well for the most part. Made a bunch of really good throws. It was a fourth down comeback to Kadarius Hodge I liked. He threw a crossing route to Jarvis Landry in the early in the game. Second quarter play action, I believe. It was just an absolute dot against tight coverage. Obviously made that throw that I posted on the OBR film breakdown from the end zone with his feet in the end zone, which was a great throw. You know, very brazen throw in that situation that he fits in a very tight window. Some of those things were really good to see. Felt really good about his play action fakes. I think he will grade pretty high. So in the 80s at least, I thought he played a pretty strong game. Look, we can talk about that miss on the goal line. He's got to find Rashard Higgins there. And I still think Baker is at his best when his first read is open. You know, if his first read is open, he can make that throw with a clean pocket. He's very good. And his clean pocket data of late is very good too. It's how Baker's able to work against muddy pockets, you know, going from read one to read two, read three, and they're eventually going to need him to lead the offensive situation. You know, they're not going to be able to play out in front every single week. They're not going to be able to close games running the football. They're going to have to rely on their quarterback in neutral situations or situations where they find themselves down on the scoreboard too. So how Baker handles those situations against Tennessee, Baltimore, the New York Giants are playing really good defense, and they have Pittsburgh again. How he's able to handle those things, and maybe even perhaps a wild card game, probably tells us how we feel about Baker going into year four. It'll be year four. So there's still a ton to be determined about him. He played winning football is what I coin it as. But that's just how I call it. Did the quarterback play winning football or not? I think Baker did. Missed that throw on the goal, and like I said, has to find it. He was too late finding, you know, clearly three beats late finding Higgins. It should have been an immediate throw once he saw Joe Schobert in the slot, turn to cover the slot, slot fade there, and the run under, a little arrow route is what they call it. When that thing's open, you got to throw it right away, and unfortunately missed it, and then his footwork got sloppy as guys were falling into his face and threw it high. So it's an ugly miss, and the next throw on the rollout to Jarvis Landry is an ugly miss too. He's got to complete that throw on the run because that's a touchdown too. So, you know, those 4 points in the matter of this game where Jacksonville has a chance to go for two and tie the game are very, very important, and unfortunately he missed those. And, you know, his tweet, which I thought he handled himself well with that tweet, was good to read, that he knows he misses them and he's going to make them. He's convinced he's going to make those plays in the future. So good to read and take ownership of that situation. Before we talk a little bit more about this game, I'm going to talk about Indeed.com, which is doing great things in the job industry. We already know that 2020 has reshaped how we work. It's almost over. Businesses across the globe have been challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical, and Indeed is here to help. They're the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility of your hiring. You only pay for what you need and can pause your account at any time. There are no long-term contracts. And Indeed's new way of matching you with your candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed's offering our podcast listeners a $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it and see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit from Indeed.com/BlueWire. It's the best offer they have available. That offer is available through December 31st at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions do apply. Make sure you check those out. Also, going to talk to you guys about our good friends at Bet Online. Hope you have taken advantage of what they have at Bet Online. They're going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. Spreads, totals, team, player, coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. Get in on that. Adam Gase is the next coach to be fired. Gambling line that's out there. You can get in on individual player lines. Jarvis Landry, you took the over on receiving yards. You won big money. Maybe you do college football parlays. It's all there for you to do. And you can get in on wins, division, championship futures, all that stuff still available too. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So we have to talk about a couple things, which is Kevin Stefanski play calling. Great question in the Ask the Insider section that came up about they're struggling a little bit on first possession productivity. You know, it was noted that last year Freddie Kitchens' offense very solid, performing in the opening script, and from after the opening script for Freddie it fell apart. So I think the Browns have been. You know, the question is, why are the Browns struggling this year, it feels like, on opening scripts? And some of it, to me, is I don't think they're predicating their entire approach to the game on those 15 plays. Well, I think Freddie's offensive structure relied a lot on that opening script and what can we do to take advantage of the weaknesses we know are there. I think some of it, they're flipping that. You know, Freddie worried more about the opening script. I think they're worrying more about, how does the team adjust to the formations and personnel groups that we're giving them? How do they line up to three tight end, 13 personnel? How do they line up? If we go 13 personnel and run empty, how do they line up? You know, if we go three, if we go fullback, we go 21 or 22 personnel. Or if we go 13 personnel with three wide receivers, how are they lining up? That's the thing that they want to know. Sorry, I should call that 11 personnel, my bad. They want to know, what are they doing to line up to it? And once we know and we chart up in the box how they're lining up to it, or we look at it on the sidelines, then we can decipher how we're going to attack it. So obviously the Browns spend time, in Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt and Bill Callahan are spending time charting the first 15 plays, but I don't think they worry so much about those 15 plays being successful as, what are the teams doing when we align this way and run this way or pass this direction, or how are they playing the boot fake on the backside if we hand it off? That's the stuff they're paying attention to, because if you've seen, as games have worn on, the Browns just keep getting better offensively for the most part. There's some exceptions, Baltimore game, Pittsburgh game. They've struggled in some games later than earlier, but for the most part, the majority of games, they're playing better as the game wears on. They're finding ways to attack defenses in the run game. They're finding holes in the pass game in the second quarter more often than not. And I think that's what's interesting to me, is that this group is doing a fantastic job of altering, opening up the playbook to figure out what works instead of relying on, hey, we have these 15 plays we know work, but where do we go from there? So I think that's something that should be noted from Stefanski and his offensive collective group, is how they're doing there. Defense, let me focus on this too. I'm not sure if this question got asked, and maybe somebody can chime in to me on Twitter, but Stefanski took that challenge that there was a pretty obvious incomplete pass situation. I certainly think that that challenge is unnecessary, unless, and he could have confirmed this, I'm sorry, I have not read all the quotes yet. I spent some time with the family after the game most of the day and wrote that article at the OBR, but if he took the timeout with a thought process of, we were going to take that, or sorry, if he threw the challenge flag, we're going to take a timeout there anyway to talk about our third down play. Let's review it. Maybe somehow it gets called a touchdown. And if it does get called a touchdown, that's just a benefit. If not, we have more time because they're going to do a TV timeout. They're going to go over and look at the score, or sorry, the video board. They're going to talk through it. They're going to get on the headsets, all that stuff. That gives us more time to talk about chart a third down play. If that's the course of action, pretty smart in my opinion. But if not, otherwise, that was the first challenge I've seen from Stefanski this year where I was like, that's a pretty blatant miss. Officiating, obviously a big portion of the end of the game was controlled by pretty bad officiating in my opinion. It was really nice to see the Browns flip the script and come out of a game where it could have gotten really weird. It did get really weird, with some officiating gaffes, especially looking like that football was clearly at the chain link to get the first down, but whatever. I was pretty stunned that they didn't give it to him. I was watching it on silent, and I was like, oh man, he barely got that, and then they pointed the other direction. I was confused. So maybe the down the line view, which we didn't get perfectly, maybe shows us that they didn't get there. I don't know. I thought the hit on Vernon unfortunate. I just thought a lot of holding calls they got wrong. Okay, let me say it this way. Holding's been called in a weird fashion this year. I don't know that they necessarily got him wrong, but I thought they were getting a little ticky-tacky with Cleveland. I'm not blaming the officials per se. I just feel like sometimes the way the games are officiated is broken, especially the way they spot the football using the blind eye of relatively old men to go in and look at this thing and make those microscopic decisions on where the football is by a chain link. It's just kind of interesting, and I just didn't agree with some of the flags, so, you know, you could pick apart the officiating. I was pretty irked at the time, but from my standpoint, it was nice to see the Browns rise up and win a game like that, where traditionally it would be Browns being Browns and lose that type of football game. The Jags come back and tie it. Maybe they lose it in overtime, something like that. They're overcoming it, which is good to see. I thought the defense played relatively okay. I thought Mike Glennon made some really nice throws. Listen, they're going to be bend but don't break defensively. They're missing Ward. Maybe they get back Miles Garrett this week. We'll see. But Ronnie Harrison, I think he broke his collarbone. We're going to see if that comes out. They're down bodies, man. They're down some of their best players right now. They have to be bend but don't break. And I'm a little worried about Tennessee coming up this week, because that's not a bend but don't break team. They're really good offensively, especially with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry rolling, and Ryan Tannehill. You know, the Browns didn't face a real quarterback threat like Tannehill has been for them when they came to Cleveland week one and dominated in 2019. Now we see them with an actual quarterback. It gets more challenging. Still, the Browns are going to have to put up points. But, you know, shout out to the defense today. They made Jacksonville punt several times. They played bend but don't break, held them to field goals for the most part, made the play in the end zone. It's an average group of players, man. It's a group outside of Miles, outside of Denzel, an average group of guys. And you could say Ronnie Harrison was getting on the path to being a pretty good player in that secondary. It's unfortunate if he did break his collarbone, but we'll see. MRI should come back out today. If you're listening to this on Monday morning here, should come out today. But they just have to find a way to hold teams to field goals when they can, and create two or three punts a game, and maybe create a turnover, punch the football out, or an interception. They didn't create any turnovers in this game, unfortunately, but they were able to win it. So, you know, that says something about this group to have turned the football over like Cleveland did, not create any turnovers, and still come out with a win. So I know it's not pretty. I know we all want the defense to be better. There's going to be reshaping done there in the future. But for now, keep playing that bend but don't break style and create opportunities for your offense to put points on the board. They won the yardage battle 459 to 375. Should be encouraged by that. I am. Again, we're going to break down games the rest of the way that the defense is going to be a problem. And it's just the fact of the matter, man. The coaching quote, the Jimmys and Joes are not, they're not that good. So they're not above expectation level. So there's going to be games where they're just going to get worked. So hopefully they can minimize how many times we see that. So it should be an exciting challenge with Tennessee coming up this week. It's an 8-3 battle. Two teams, like I said, there, 8-3, could be a game that's flexed into a 4:25 primetime. Could be a Sunday night flex, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? It's to be determined. It'd be a good opportunity for someone to get some good ratings ahead of the Browns Monday Night Football matchup with the Ravens. So hopefully you enjoyed this pod. Hopefully you enjoyed the article posted at the OBR. Try to get more content up this week. Try to keep this thing rolling. Keep giving you perspective of what's going on. Join us at the OBR, 75% off offer right now, which is just crazy. Take advantage of it. Ask the insider. We have great discourse. I really, really want to get a Baker Mayfield video posted this week. My wife and I are in the process of trying to buy a house. It's been crazy going through this process. It's taking a lot of time. Hopefully it can work out this week. Fingers crossed, but it's taking a lot of time, but I want to try to set aside some time because there's a lot of stuff to discuss about Baker this week that I would love to get posted, and maybe we'll try to do that Tuesday night at the OBR YouTube channel. Keep your eyes out for that. Otherwise, please drop a subscription to this podcast and a review. Always, always, always appreciate that, and join us at the OBR where we have some great stuff going, and hopefully you can find a way to be a part of this little family we have. So otherwise, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your victory Monday, guys, and as usual, go Browns.